It's that time again. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking to finally build a business that creates consistent cash flow, but you're concerned about all the market disruptions, relax. You found your safe haven to learn the secret to success. List, you last. Welcome to this week's podcast. Hello, fellow listing agents. Bobby, the listing coach here with episode 25 of the If You List, You Last podcast. Now, this week, I have an amazing treat for you. I'm going to be interviewing Alexis, an agent from Southern California, and in just 4 years as an agent, starting out as a 26-year-old former teacher in Japan, she's transformed herself into a $20 million a year personal producer and built a 32-agent team. So her story is both inspiring, and we're going to share the roadmap to how she accomplished all that in just 4 years. It's going to be an epic story. Now, as always, make sure you join our Real Estate Asset Advisors Facebook group so you can join the conversation, share your thoughts, comments, questions, or any of the topics I discuss right here on the podcast. And if you have a topic or conversation you want me to discuss it on the show, go over to the Facebook group and share your request. And as always, folks, my guests are members of that. So if you had questions for them, you'll be able to take and go and ask them and be able to take and communicate with them. So with that, let's get to this week's mortgage market update. And it was another ugly week for mortgage rates. But what I want to tell you is welcome to the new normal. Don't let that slow you down. It's just normal rates right now. So it doesn't have to be a detriment to your business. It doesn't have to hold you back. Yes, I understand affordability is definitely different, and it's a different discussion we have to have with our buyers. But folks, we can have that discussion. And to be honest, this week, I don't want to spend too much time on the mortgage side because I want to get to our interview with Alexis. Because the thing she's going to share with you, I believe, can have a huge impact on your business. So with that, I just know you're going to love this. And remember, folks, don't forget to jump on our biweekly Elevate Business Briefings every other Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can register at www.elevatebusiness.com. That's plural, briefings.com. And if you want more information on the Home Boss process and how we use it, download a pre-release version of my book at ifyoulistyourlast.com. So let's get on with our interview with Alexis. We're here with Alexis, who is an agent from the Inland Empire, if you haven't heard it called that, Rancho Cucamonga, maybe a little bit more specifically. And Alexis has an amazing story that I think it's important people in the real estate business hear, because far too often we hear, oh my gosh, it's a tough business, and it can be. And I just don't know how to get ahead, and I don't know how to do this. Alexis was born in Southern California, moved to Japan to teach elementary school kids English, and at age 26, came back to the U.S. and got a real estate license.
Yep.
4 years later, she has a team of 32. In 2022, it would be, she did about $24 million in production. Last year, worst year in history for transactions, she still did about $18 million in 4 years. So I just think that's a voice you need to hear. And really what I've asked Alexis to do is come in and talk about how in the world she did it, because it's a story everybody can follow, right? You're not special. You're not super connected.
You're not.
Right? Your family's not referring you 50 deals a year or anything like that.
No.
Right? So I'm going to let you take it away and tell your story. So let's take you from when you got back from Japan. Why real estate?
Bob, thank you so much for having me on and be able to talk today. I have had the privilege of being able to grow up in a real estate environment. I would say that's where my real estate background began. I grew up in Southern California. My father's been a broker for over 30 years. And all growing up, I always grew up around going to show houses, look at houses. But my passion was really teaching at the time when I became when I was in college. And so I was a full-time teacher for about 10 years, taught mostly kindergarten. And I love the little kids. They're my favorite. I just love teaching. I had a passion for teaching. And then I had this opportunity. Me and my husband had an opportunity to go move into Japan and teach English there in Japan. And we were there for a couple of years. And that was just before COVID. just before 2019. We moved there in 2017 and we stayed there for about 2 years and we loved it. But then something happened during those 2 years where, yeah, before we left, I said, you know what? My father was thinking about going to this new real estate company and he was going to give it a shot. And I was just going back and forth with him and seeing how things were going. And I said, you know what? Maybe when I come back from Japan, maybe I'll try doing real estate. Let's see how things go with my dad's new company. And then after being in Japan for 2 years, my father said, man, I joined this amazing real estate company and I'm just so successful. And I said, you know what? I just felt this push of, you know what? I really want to give it a shot. I really want to give real estate a shot. And when we came back from Japan, it was right before COVID, so 2019. And I had this mind aspect where I can't go back to teaching. I really want to make this real estate thing work. I really want to, because coming back, I still have a lot of teacher friends here in the States, and just the way things are going in the education industry, I said, I don't really want to go back into teaching here anymore.
Especially in California.
Especially in Southern California. And I think all my teachers can understand what I mean by that. And when we came back, my husband started looking for work again. He was a pastry chef in Japan. And he came back to look for pastry work again. And I was like, you know what? I have to make this real estate thing work. I have to. And I think that's the one thing that started me off on the right path is to success is failure is not an option. But I have to make this work. If I need to pay my rent, if I need to eat, this is like the mind aspect that I had. I said, you know what? I have to make this work. I have to work hard. And so I got my classes out of the way. I passed. I got my license and I sat down with my father and we just talked about what are my goals for the next year and how am I going to hit those goals and what am I going to do every single day to hit those goals? And I think another thing that really helped me get on the right track is having that mind of being open to learn new things. And I think if you are a real estate agent or even if you're with any sort of different business that you're in, you'll meet people who are so stuck in their ways and they do not want to learn more. They feel like they know it all. They feel like there's nothing else for them to learn. So let's just keep doing it the way we always do. And especially with the real estate industry, it's constantly evolving, even month by month, with the technology that we have, with the people that we meet. And so I was just like a sponge. With our group, we have so many amazing coaches. So I had so many meetings with them. Our real estate company had all these educational hours and I just soaked it in as much as I could. And that's like where it started. Yeah.
Two things are important in that, folks, that I think you need to pull from that. Number one, I just posted something in our Facebook group. Highly paid equals highly trained. So if you're not getting training, especially at the speed of change going on in the real estate business right now, it's changing every day, right? The Department of Justice just comes out yesterday and says, yeah, you know what? That whole agreement where real estate companies can post commissions on their own websites, just not in MLS. Yeah, we're not in favor of that. We're not doing that. So guys, this stuff is changing every single day. So if you're not open to learning and then you're not open to doing things differently, because let's face it, guys, for the last 60 years, 87% of all agents fail in the first 2 years. The reason, in my opinion, we keep teaching them the same old crap that doesn't work. And Alexis comes along and just absorbs all this stuff, sat in all the classes. Not all of them were particularly stimulating, right?
True.
Yeah, it's the way it is. But your goal should be out of every training class that you go, hey, if I can learn one thing from this class and it was worth my time and one thing that I could actually implement, then it's a big deal. And the second thing that you need to take out of that is that she sat down, clearly identified what she wanted to accomplish and put together a daily schedule. You might have heard it called time blocking. That's what I refer to it as. She time blocks her days out. And so she knows what she's going to be doing every day to put her in pursuit of that goal. Because I think it's pretty simple to say or understand that here's this young lady who comes back from Japan and a year later is knocking out $20 million a year in production.
I was terrified at first, Bob. I taught 5-year-olds for 10 years. And I said, how in the world am I going to speak with adults now and talk to them about their house? And it was very intimidating at first. And I was very scared the first year. And I had great mentors. I had my father to mentor me and it was great. But one thing you really hit on is that all the classes that you take, and one thing that I kept true to myself as a teacher, and this helped me with real estate, is that you'll see when I was first becoming a teacher and I'd watch teachers who I would say were quote unquote good and quote unquote not so good, I took the good and the bad. And I did that with real estate too. The people that I would meet and I would take what, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm going to apply this to my business. Or, oh my goodness, I can't believe they just did that. I'm never going to do that ever to my clients. You take the good and the bad and you help make yourself better at whatever profession that you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. So it's part of that training, but everything has got to be done within your own personality too. So
yeah.
I could tell you what to say and you go, but I just can't say that. Well, either say it in a different way, that a way that you're comfortable, or figure out how to say it with your words in a way in which you can make it you.
You want people to love you and what you do.
Right.
Exactly. And one thing that has my, I would say, so I'm in my almost fifth year of real estate now. In my second year of real estate, I started realizing I really want to focus on something very specific. And I think this is what's going to make you stand out as a real estate agent, is you find something that you really love to do and that you're really good at. So like, I have some agents on my team who are really good at probate. I have some agents who really love to deal with people who are maybe losing their home and they want to help them sell their home before they lose it. I really felt a passion within my second year of real estate that I really liked luxury homes, multi-million dollar homes. And so I decided I really want to dive full into this. And this is what really made me stand out as an agent, is I found my niche, I found my market, and I dove right into learning all I could about it. And that's where I'm focusing right now. I live in Ranch Cucamonga, which is in Southern California, and they have these gorgeous homes up here in the hills. I've been focusing on making that my market this past year. And what I love about my company, eXp Realty, is that they have this luxury division called eXp Realty Luxury, and they allow you to brand yourself as a luxury agent. They give you all these amazing tools to push you out as a luxury agent. So I just joined the luxury division at our company last year, and I've just scored my first multi-million dollar deal. And I did that by just printing out some packets that they gave me, this awesome marketing materials. And I dropped them off at for sale by owner's doors, those people who are selling the home without an agent. I just dropped them off. And the work spoke for itself. And I was able to get the listing, and they really what I had to say. And they loved that I knew everything about Ranch Cucamonga. So you've got to find that market, that thing that you love, the thing that you're passionate about. And you'll feel more motivated to do it every day. And that's, I think that's what really helped me become successful too.
That's the old saying, the riches are in the niches.
Yes.
Find something you love and you'll be great. Now, one thing I want to also mention real quick. So Alexis talked about her team. When we gave you her volume, that was not her team volume. That was her personal production. There's a difference in team volume, where so many of these big teams go, oh, I did $600 million a year and the team leader didn't do anything. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just want you to be clear. She's got a 32 agent team and she's still doing around $20 million a year in personal production. So that's a big deal to understand. So the other thing is, you on that FSBO, you just dropped the packet off, right? You didn't knock on the door. You didn't do any of that.
It's funny. I'm going to do this with every FSBO from now on. When they called me, they said there was two reasons why they called me out of, they had a, when I went to go on a listing presentation, they had about 10 other packets on their kitchen counter, all the other agents. And I was looking at all of them and I was looking at mine. And they said the one thing that they love is that I did not knock on their door and that I did not bug them, because they had so many people calling them, texting them, and I just let my work speak for itself. So you really have to have that confidence behind your work when you do that. And yeah, that was the biggest thing. That's what they love.
I don't know if it's right to say don't knock on their door or not. There's
it just depends on the situation.
It depends on the person. But I will tell you, I was telling Alexis before this, over the weekend last week or late in the week, whatever it was, I seen the agent who sold Ben Affleck's house in Pacific Palisades. It was sold it for $31 million. And he's also the agent who sold him their $63 million house in Florida. He happened to have been born in Florida and was licensed in Florida and California. The way he got that listing, you might think that he knew friends of theirs or whatever. He was door knocking in Pacific Palisades and Ben Affleck answered the door.
That's just awesome.
Now, I'm shocked. I would think they would have security in a big way. I would if I was them, but hey.
Yes.
And that's how he got $94 million in production, by knocking on the door. So I don't know if I tell you, don't knock on the door when dropping off a package, but at the end of the day, for those people, it worked.
But guys, for him.
Right. That's what worked for him. And so at the end of the day, the thing is, like for you, knocking on doors is not real comfortable, right?
No, I will say I'm a millennial, so I'm a little nervous talking to people face to face until I have a reason where they might have something that's mine, and then we have that conversation. But cold calling and door knocking, I've been a little nervous at first, which is why I do other things that I feel more comfortable with.
but the main thing is, though, you're going to do it this summer. And before we started recording. I told her, hey, listen, you know, she says, maybe I'll bring my dog with me. And it's okay, that's cool. Anything, don't do this. I'll be honest, folks, don't go out and door knock alone. Number two, maybe bring somebody from your team and turn that into a training event. It'll also help you get over your fear. But the number one thing that I will tell you is you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. That's 100%. What pushes us out of our comfort zone. And yes. If you don't push out of that comfort zone, nothing good probably happens. And so I encourage you, while we're afraid to do it, and I get it, go do it anyway.
You hit the nail on the head, Bob. I can't stress enough how in the beginning, when I made that drastic career change from teaching five-year-olds to talking to adults, which I've said this to you before, Bob, and people always tell me, people have said, there's really not much difference to talking to a five-year-old to an adult. And I said, okay, I'll let you judge on that. But the fear, I was so scared, Bob, when I was making that transition, because I didn't know anything about real estate. I didn't know how to write a contract. I didn't know how to get started. But you just have to be hungry to learn and just take it in your mind and just pray and just say, you know what? I'm going to put my whole self into this. And I can't say that I didn't do my best. If I tried my best and it fails, then that's just the way it's going to be. But you just got to put yourself into it and just overcome that fear of being uncomfortable. You're going to have conversations where you're like, oh, why did I say that? Oh, why did I do that? And I said, I'll tell myself, I'm never going to do that again. I'll never say that again. And you just got to overcome that fear.
So it's funny you say that. When I first got into real estate, I was a retail executive and I had a very good position. And I had like hundreds of thousands of people that worked for me. And if Bob said, do this, they did it. Then yes. I get into sales and Bob said, here, sign here. And they're like, no, I don't think so. It's like, do you know who's, do you know who you're talking to? Anyway. Yeah. And so literally what I did is after I left a presentation, I would go around the corner, wherever, pull out my yellow legal pad and make a note of all the things that I need to work on. Like they said this and it stumped me, or I said this, or they said this and I answered. And I gave them this ridiculous answer and it was like, God, did that sound dumb? So don't say that. And then I literally sat and worked through the conversation and forced myself to say, when they said this, I would have three different answers. And then when they said that, if then they answered that, then I would have three different answers. So back before charting became a big deal, I would have all these little squares of if they said this is what I would do. And I just memorized that. And so now when I go on stage and do things like that, right? So I'm known as the guy that answers all the objections. Like I can go on a stage and do all that stuff. I don't need any notes. I don't need anything. Because over the years, I've practiced that so much, it's just become part of my being. And that's where an agent really has to get to. And what I tell everybody is your first five transactions, just kiss them up to God. They're your learning experiences. If you get them, cool. If you don't, cool. That's how you learn. Instead, we get too attached to the outcome of, oh, I didn't get my first listing presentation, but I learned. That's what we need to learn from this stuff.
You're totally right. And and I did say failure is not an option, but I meant it as I'm going to make this work even if I do fail. So even if things don't work out, or even if I've been dropping off expired and FSBO packets for the past 3 months, I haven't got any listings from it yet. I got a lot of good feedback. I got the one FSBO, but I'm still constantly delivering. And that's just building up my momentum. You just got to find what you're good at. And you just got to keep going for it. And that's all you got to do.
It's funny because I did a little chart, a little graphic that I did for training purposes, a little triangle. And it's basically breaking down, if you took 100 people, what percentage of those people are ready to buy or invest or sell right now? The answer is 3%. And then there's about 17% of the people that are, yeah, we've talked about it. And then there's another 20% that are like, yeah, it'd be cool if we did it. And then 60% like, yeah, I have no interest. The problem is real estate agents, and really most businesses, it's not just real estate agents, everybody focuses on that 3%. And so you have 99% of the agents focusing on that 3%. Instead of you've got 37% underneath that what you're doing right now, you're feeding that 37%. So when they do elevate themselves to the 3% at the top where it's, I'm ready to go, whose name is going to come into their brain then?
You want to be that person. Yeah.
And that's all you're doing right now. You're feeding the 37%. Let the other three grapple, the 99% grapple for the 3%. Feed that 37%, because that's what's going to build that long-term consistent cash flow from for you, is doing. That's why we were talking before we did this about Facebook custom audience ads. For a couple bucks a day, you can be in front of these people sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a day. And they keep seeing your name and your branding and your name and your branding. When the time comes that they're ready to go, who are they going to call?
Exactly. And one thing that when you said that, it popped up, and I want to offer some encouragement for those agents who are listening, who are thinking, all this sounds great, but I still feel discouraged, especially if you've seen other agents in your area who are just killing it, who are just, they're all over social media. They might have thousands of followers. They does the transactions every month. You got to look at that, because I'm still in those situations where I see these agents and I'm like, wow, I wish I had this amount of followers on social media to get more business, or I wish I had this or that. You have to look at it as, this is what you can learn from. There's always things that you can learn to make yourself do better. And you have to use it as a sign of encouragement, because there's always something in a real estate company where they're not doing the 100% best. There might be something that they can do a little bit better. So whenever I look at someone, I'm like, oh, I love this post, but they can make it a little bit better. So let me take that. Let me make it a little bit and make it a little bit better. And that's what I really want to encourage everyone who's listening, is that if you see someone doing better than you, use it as fuel for your fire to make yourself better, make yourself feel better, or do better in the areas that you're not really comfortable with. Like, video marketing is something that I was so shy at doing at first. I didn't like being on video. It just petrified me. And I just, the other day I was going through my old folders and I found the first real estate video I did with me and my dad. And I was like this giggly, bubbly mess of a lady. And I didn't know how to speak. And I just looked so nervous. And I'm like, wow, I'm so much better now. I'm so glad I'm not like that anymore. So you just got to keep learning, keep pushing yourself, and you're going to get better every day.
Yeah. And the key is, folks, that you go out and do it, and you can go back and look at that. Listen, I go back and look at like PowerPoint presentations and classes that I used to train. And I look at them and go, oh my God, that was so lame. Guess what? It worked. You just have to constantly be working on getting better and then being objective about it. So look at the video and go, what could I have done differently? And so I think it's good to look at other agents and really other social media posts. It doesn't have to be agents, and look at what they do well and take and put that into yours. The other thing that I will give you a cautionary tale on, though, I always tell my kids, social media is not reality, because we think, oh my gosh, this agent has all these followers. And I have software that I can look up an agent's production anywhere in the United States. And so you look at this person, they got, 1.8 million followers, and they did 8 transactions.
That's a good point.
So social media is not reality. Learn from it, take it, use it. It can be a powerful tool, but don't confuse likes or followers with transactions. And so my answer to some of these people that are doing this that have all these followers, now you need to sit down and study, how do I turn that into transactions? The message that you're giving gets you followers, but it's not getting you transactions. So my thing is, then why do it, or figure out how to do it better, which is really what Alexis is saying. She just looks at what they do well, takes that, integrates it in, and constantly evolves to get better and better at it. Because it's mortifying to go back and watch your old stuff, isn't it?
Oh gosh, I wanted to share that video. It was me in front of a Christmas tree with my dad, and it was just, I was like, it was hard for me to watch, but I was like, I want to post this to give encouragement to people and say, look at this lame 26-year-old agent who barely knows anything trying to advertise, and look at me now. Like, I wanted to do a comparison. But well, one thing if I can leave you guys with something that my dad told me that really stuck with me, and I love when he says this. So my dad's been real estate for over 30 years. And he told me this one thing that really changed my outlook on everything that I do. He said, if there's something that you really want to get good at, whatever it is, real estate and hobby, whatever it is, you want to be 100% good at it, you do 1% a day. And after 100 days, you'll be at 100%. And I looked at it, wow, each day, I don't have to be overwhelmed at learning all these things. I just do 1%, 1%, 1%. And as the time goes on, you'll become a master at it. That changed my outlook on everything that I do now.
Yeah, no wonder I like him. That's a good one. I've never heard him say that before.
He said it maybe a couple times on like coaching calls with other agents. Uh-huh. I said, man, you got to say that more often. So hopefully he'll listen to this and he'll say it more often now.
The funny thing is, folks, is it's if you think about it, if you got 1% better, logically, your results are going to be massively better. And yet I look at all the, listen, the coaching calls we do, the training classes that we do, the people that aren't paying attention to it. So just so you guys know, if you're on a Zoom or a GoToWebinar webinar, we can tell if you're paying attention or not. And yet you could have people on here that are massively successful and you're answering texts and you're not paying attention. You could have missed the one thing that person would have said that resonated with you that could have been your 1% improvement for the day. So when you attend the class, turn off your stuff and pay attention because you don't know what you're going to miss. And I can only speak for me personally. When I do classes and whatever, like people go, hey, could you say that again? It was like, what did I say? Because I don't remember because it's just coming out of me. So I might not even be able to go back and say it again because I didn't go. Fortunately, we're recording it, so we can go back and listen. But I don't remember because some of this stuff just comes to me as I'm speaking. If you were returning a text or you had a mute because you took a phone call that, Lord, how important it really was it, and you missed that one thing that could have a huge impact on your life, would you do it? And so for me, I read a lot. I'm 68 years old. I'm pretty darn successful at what I've done. I read a ton. I pay attention. I get hundreds of emails a day for things that I pay attention to because I'm constantly looking for that one little thing that will give me the edge. But if I'm not paying attention and you miss it, what's the one thing, like if I would have missed, like for your dad, if he wouldn't have joined this company, what would all of your lives been like at this point?
I think about that all the time. This, it has forever changed our family. And I probably would have been still in Japan. And during COVID, they were closed down for years where you weren't able to leave the country. So I would have been stuck there. And well, I think about that all the time.
It's funny. My nephew was an English teacher in Japan at that time. And they literally were locked in their apartment. When I say locked in their apartment.
And they said, if you leave the country, you cannot come back in.
Right.
You're basically stuck. Yeah.
And his problem was his visa was up, his whatever, temporary visa was up. Oh. It was like, how are they going to do that? And he couldn't get back in and whatever. The other thing too, folks, if you ever get the chance to go to Japan, do it.
You got to do it. Yes.
You got to do it.
The fall is the best time of year. I never want the spring because of the cherry blossoms. But the fall, when everything is just bright red, it's half cost. It's gorgeous.
We were there for the cherry blossoms, and it's an amazing thing. And the other thing, so Alexis' husband was a pastry chef in Japan. Let me tell you something. Pastry in Japan is on a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. They combined French influence with Japanese influence, and it's just, I miss it so much.
They had a bread called a dream bread from heaven, and it truly was.
Oh, I love that. It's so fluffy, which means like fluffy in Japanese. It's so fluffy. It's air. Yeah.
And the funniest thing where we bought it, the Kyoto train station.
Yeah. That's where you'll find the best things are like underground at the station or some hole in the wall place. Yeah.
And so if you guys ever get the chance, I know this has nothing to do with real estate, but if you ever get the chance, go to Japan. For me, it was on my bucket list and I'm so glad that I did. So I was very
Ever want to talk about Japan on a podcast, I could talk for hours.
Yeah, no, I know. The cool part is my nephew married a girl. She's Japanese heritage. She was born in the U.S., but her parents live and back and forth. They actually did a traditional Japanese wedding. And we just sat there. It was like, we just felt like we were in a movie. It was just so cool.
I always wanted to go. Oh,
it was just so cool. And they were in the kimono and the father and the mother of the brides were in. And it was like, it was just so cool. It was a very cool experience. And guess what, guys? When you build your real estate business to the level that you have the freedom and the money to do that, it's a whole different ballgame. And so just as a aside, but I meant to say that when you were talking about pastry, because I'll be honest, I've never had bakery like I had it in Japan. So
there's one, if you're in Southern California, I'm going off tangent now. If you're in Southern California, there's one wonderful place in Torrance called Chantilly Bakery. They are the only place in Southern California that I've eaten, and it tastes just like the one in Japan.
So really? Next time I'm there, we'll have to go because I miss the dream bread from heaven. Oh. So with that, folks, hey, I hope this gives you some perspective and some hope, I guess I would say, because I hear so many agents, with all these things going on, I'm afraid of the market and all this other stuff. You know, yes, Alexis is, is special in what she does, but she didn't have any special training, connections, anything. It was just hard work, training, the ability to take and be uncomfortable and still do it anyway is really what sets her apart. And in 4 years, folks, doing 20 million plus a year with a team of 32. That's an amazing story for people to hear. So I hope it motivates you, gives you some hope. And again, when we do classes and we invite you, Alexis does classes for us too. I'd encourage you to jump on those things. So Alexis, thanks so much for doing this. For me, it was an honor because it's just such a cool story. And obviously I love your whole family and it's been cool to watch all this happen.
Thank you, Bob. It's been a pleasure. And thank you everyone for listening. I really appreciate it.
All right, guys. So remember this. If you list, you last. We'll talk to you next week.